Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Steffi Barnett. And today on the show,
all things trans.
We'll be talking to Nathan.
And a Trappist monk.
What is monastic life like?
All that and more.
Today on Shout Out.
I'm sure there's a tea in there somewhere. Hello.
Yes, apologies for the stuttery start.
Yeah. Well, that's amateur radio for you.
It was a button
in the wrong place. I normally check it, and the news was all going out fine. So anyway, I'll edit that off the beginning of the podcast, and then no one on the podcast will have a clue what it was.
No, and we'll edit it out anyway.
So, how are you anyway?
Okay? I'm okay. Yeah, a little bit of a cold still there, and it's hanging on. I've had it 2 weeks now.
Yeah. I'm hoping that this horrible drizzle is going to go away and it's going to get a bit nicer.
It is,
like,
yes.
Easter can sometimes be really warm, can't
it? Next week, it's going to be mid-20s.
Oh, nice.
Mid-20s.
And sunshine.
Looking forward to that.
And sunshine.
Potentially.
Potentially.
Yes. Yeah. I think we're guaranteeing the temperatures, but not the sunshine.
Right. Yeah.
So there could be cloud.
Or we could just, like, jet off abroad somewhere.
What, me and you?
No.
What, coral mine?
No. I can do an hour a week.
Oh, harsh.
No, you know my luck, you'll tan better than me.
Of course I will.
I'm on holiday next week, actually.
I know.
Having a week off.
Yes, your birthday tomorrow, is it not?
It is, yes. I wasn't going to mention that.
Well, I will. How many candles are on the cake? So you would never get them on.
Half as many as you.
Almost. Not far off. I am old enough to be your mother.
Yeah, and my grandmother.
My eldest son is older than you.
Yeah, so that's probably not actually wrong, is it? That's the worst thing about. Sorry, we are terrible. We do take the mickey out of each other far too much on air, don't we? It's just one of those things that's done, you know. So anyway, we had tons coming up on the show today.
We've got to the point
where we've actually got guessing with us right now, which is very unusual.
Yes, we've got a special My Five. Now, the My Five this week is going to be live. Check us out. This is the first live My Five we've done.
Yeah. I hasten to add, it's not like we've never talked to people live in the studio before.
Ivan was out and about and talking to Nathan, going in one direction, and we were talking to a former Trappist monk, Francis Bennett.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to that.
It's going to be interesting to find out.
Very spiritual. So. Yeah, I'm really interested in that one.
So what are we doing right now?
Oh, we're going to do the My Five. Marley.
Hello. Hi.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
So welcome to Shout Out.
Yes.
So sorry, I think we threw you a bit with that beginning there, didn't you? It was just like, So, Shardy, hello. Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, okay. How are you?
Doing really well.
Now, you're a bit worried about us speaking too fast, but your English is so good.
Thank you.
Which bit of Spain do you come from?
Well, from a town called Valdepeñas, which is like 2 hours from Madrid, more or less.
Okay.
But pretty centric.
Yeah, so is that south of Madrid or north?
Well, no, it's 2 hours from Madrid. It's another separate town. It's
Which direction?
South.
Nice and hot. I bet it's lovely and sunny there right now.
Yeah. I've been there 2 weeks ago.
And you came back here, and I bet you went,
I could feel it, you know.
Now, what are you guys in to talk to us about?
Well, we're a group of first-year filmmaking students with the University of West of England in Bower Ashton, and we are in the middle of a production called Ergo, which is quite an ambitious challenge, actually. Yeah. It's an 80s-inspired short musical film.
All right.
Profiling the struggles our protagonist Andy faces in coming out and accepting himself.
There's something special you're doing with the music. You're not actually taking 80s music, are you? You've actually got a composer that's rewritten 80s sounding music, which is fantastic.
That's correct. Yeah. His name is Robert Primrose, so if anybody wants to check him out, he's an amazing guy, really wonderful, and he's composed the entire soundtrack.
But making it sound like the 80s.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It.
So is that kind of like lots of electronic stuff? Because that was kind of all the rage then, wasn't it?
When we met with him, when we met with him, we had clearly an idea of what music do we wanted, because it's strongly related with the emotions of the character. And how to do that, making it 80s, like sound like an 80s music, it was quite challenging, but as Marley said, we had a great guy, a great composer, and he could handle it with no problem. So,
is it all singing like an opera, or is there speech in between the
it's,
music?
It's kind of sung dialogue.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like an opera,
right?
But yeah, it's kind of like high school musical more or less.
Oh, right, yeah.
So singing with dialogue, yeah.
But in the '80s, so yeah. Are you allowed to tell us some of the kind of plot line? You said it's about one of your...
Yeah. Well, want to go? Ergo tells the story of Andy. He's a university student with a bright future who struggles to come to terms with who really is and what could mean for the future. Should he choose to disclose his inner truth or just save it for him? We really wanted to focus this film with actual, real struggles and... we strongly worked, Marley and I, to make something deep and transcendent. So we decided to make this film and take a step further.
Can I ask, what have been some of the challenges trying to make a film?
Wow, my goodness me. Well, I think...
Especially if you're doing it to music. Yeah. I presume they sing along with the backing track as well. And
you have to dub it down
afterwards.
Yeah.
Has that been quite a challenge?
Yeah. The cost of the equipment must be phenomenal.
Well, we're really lucky at the university that we have such amazing equipment on hand that we can hire out and use. And it is really top of the range stuff. So we're wonderfully blessed in that aspect. We've just had a new TV studio put in, which is something like £2.5 million, so that's amazing.
Whoa.
Yes.
Campus has changed a bit since I was there 27 years ago.
I did a bit.
But are you shooting just inside then, or are you having to do some of this outside?
We had one set day in the TV studio in which we constructed a set and got all the props and everything and built the set, constructed it, which was like quite an impressive challenge, to answer your previous question. And we actually have 3 location days of filming, one of which we've already done, but we've got a further 2 to go, which is all filmed in the local area. And
a Bristol show.
Yes, it is. We wanted to keep it local. Yeah.
It's surprising how much filming does go in here in Bristol. I walk past the M shed most days, and because it looks all old with the cranes and the like, there's often a lot of filming goes on down there. It's a really nice place to...
Yeah, Queen Square is another one, isn't it, that they pick up on.
Yeah.
Yes, in fact, I think Doctor Who was also recorded in Portland Square as well.
Oh,
wow.
Didn't know that.
Oh, my goodness.
So, there's all sorts that go on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the plan? What's the kind of timeline, and when can people see it, and all those kind of things?
Well, we are halfway through the production process at the moment, so once it is all complete, we will be continually updating our Facebook and Twitter, and Shadi Max is the guy to follow for all those updates. But currently, we're looking for people that will be willing to share their coming out experiences as filmed interviews running over the title credits of our film, as we hope to link with charities, which would be able to support people struggling with coming out, because it is important to realize that the statistics of about 45% of people who have tried, sadly, to take their own lives. We need to collectively recognize how we can improve and ensure this doesn't continue happening. And so with that in mind, and it is something very close to both our hearts, that we have created a You Caring campaign raising money for Brixtow, and which I believe I've sent you the links to.
Yes, we'll put it up on our webpage later.
You can also check out our behind the scenes, which is sort of like a up to date how far we are along on our project at the moment as well, which is also in one of the links that I sent.
But does it spoil the movie if you watch behind the scenes?
Oh, absolutely not.
We take that seriously. I mean, I hate spoilers, so
So what's the plan? Where will we be able to see it somewhere when it comes out?
That's something that we are gonna work out later, because we wanna release
the film at the moment.
Want to submit it to some film festivals and
definitely
take it out there. And afterwards, we will make it public for.
How long is it gonna be roughly the movie?
5 to 7 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's quite
form.
Good. But yeah, short form.
Yeah.
But what was I going to mention to you was the festivals with like BFI Blaze and the Toronto International Film Festival, and also Brussels has the Royal Television Society Awards for students. So we're going to be looking at entering that one as well.
Oh, right. Well, so, and don't forget we have Queer Vision as well, which is part of Bristol Pride.
Indeed.
Yes.
That's a classic kind of thing that they were screening. It might be worth getting in touch with them.
Yes, so. Definitely. Sure. Thank you.
So if people want to find out more or want to get in touch with you, obviously we'll make sure we put all the stuff out on our show page as well. Mm-hmm. But is it Facebook the best place to go, or Twitter?
Probably the best thing is to contact our beautiful and wonderful producer, Marley.
Aww.
So,
You're making her blush. It's pretty on the radio.
A little bit, right? She was nervous. Now it's like more. But the best way to contact her is by her email.
My email address, which is Marley, which is marley-hamilton@hotmail.com.
Brilliant. Cool. Mm-hmm. So, well, listen, it's been lovely to meet you both.
Thank
it sounds like
you
a fascinating little project. And it's great to hear you're supporting Rigster as well. We're very close to them. They're in the same building here.
Yes.
They're just upstairs.
Yeah.
So, and then what we'll do is we'll make sure we put all the links to all the stuff we've been talking about up with the show on our pages.
Wonderful.
Too. So if people haven't got pen or paper handy, you can get it from there later on. So.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Right.
Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We're back in a minute. Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's Golden Chains.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
I like that. That's
by good.
ALB.
Yeah, I'll put me maracas down now.
Real kind of summary one, that one.
Hmm.
So, and I it was one of those that I played yonks ago, like years ago, and I was just having a trawl through thinking, what music can we play? I thought, oh, that's a nice one. So.
That's the sort of music you'd listen to on the beach, isn't it, in Brazil? Or,
yeah.
Or,
I was thinking it was sounding very calypso-y. Yeah.
Calypso-y.
Yeah, calypso-y, if that's such a word.
There is now.
I've just made that up.
You are funny. So now, I should say hello, shouldn't I? Hello, Ivan, how are you?
Good evening, how are you? Or good morning if you're listening in the morning at home somewhere on a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, so whatever time of day it is with you.
I always forget about that.
It's, yes, you never know, do you?
We do get out at different times depending on which station you're
some
on.
Some people, I won't mention any names, listen in the bath.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is, and do,
with a cocktail.
Take a photo and tweet it or Facebook it to us, because it's always so nice to see where people listen.
Where
it's
are
really
you
cool.
listening to Shout Out? Where are you? But keep it clean, though.
And
but
we'll hold the photos up to the microphones.
So now, you've been catching up with a good friend of ours, haven't you?
Well, I have, yes. You may recognise his voice. He's been a regular on Shout Out, but I've been talking to a young gentleman about, his transition and some of the surgical procedures that he's been through, and some of it's been quite traumatic and some of it hasn't. We've often heard personal journeys about transition from the transgender community here on Shout Out, but those stories have nearly always come from trans women. Transgender men have both guested and presented on the show, but we've never really heard much in the way of their own personal journeys living with gender dysphoria. Well, today, I'm hoping to shift the balance a little. Nathan Adam is here to talk to me today about his transition. Hello, Nathan.
Hello.
Nathan, you were assigned female at birth.
Yes.
You now identify as male.
Yep.
When did you first have the tiniest notion that the body you were born with didn't match up to the way your brain is wired?
I think it was sort of like a little bit difficult to sort of describe it as that, because obviously when children are very small, they usually look pretty much the same. And so I never really saw myself, I just in a way never saw myself as a girly girl. I never wanted to wear dresses. I never wanted to play with dolls and things like that. And I mostly either wanted to play with my brother and my male cousins. When it came to situations of just like, obviously the summer and the boys are taking their tops off and running around, me being told I wasn't allowed to do that, I was like, well, why? I look exactly the same underneath. And it wasn't one situation that sticks out quite vividly was when we were at a holiday park. I think I was probably like about 8 or 9.
Right.
My bathing suit that I had wasn't dry, so I couldn't wear it. But my mum said, oh, she can just wear her brother's shorts. It should be absolutely fine. And I just remember feeling just amazing and being mistaken for a boy, because I had quite short hair as well when I was a younger kid. Everyone mistaking me for a boy and me just kind of thinking, oh, this is brilliant.
So you were quite happy about that. Obviously, though, you turn into a teenager.
Yeah.
and your thoughts sort of change a little bit then, don't
yeah.
they?
It was very difficult. I found being a teenager and going through puberty sort of difficult, but I still didn't know what was making me sad and what was making me really uncomfortable about my body. I never really knew that I knew about transgender women. I knew about men transitioning into women, but there was never anything, obviously, when I was growing up, about women transitioning into men.
How old are you now?
I'm 33.
You're 33 mm. now. So I guess at that time, you probably didn't get any support from your parents and friends because you didn't really know what was going on yourself.
No, exactly. And I was just trying all different sorts of things that were apparently meant to make you much more happy. It's just try and be more feminine. That will make you happier. Or try and do this. This will make you more happier. And none of it working, really.
So you knew something wasn't quite right.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, we hear an extremely high proportion of those with gender dysphoria. They self-harm. Or even attempt suicide because of the psychological or social pressures they're under. I mean, you're obviously under yourself. Have those kind of dark thoughts ever entered your mind as you grew up? Did they ever?
Never self-harm, but definitely suicidal thoughts were, or very sort of low moods to the point where it was just like, I don't want to leave the house. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to be a part of this world. A lot of the time, yeah.
You mentioned going through puberty. These days, prepubescent young people with identified gender dysphoria, they're able to take puberty blockers to delay the onset of puberty, obviously,
yes.
Which allows them sort of extra time to contemplate their gender identity, and it also allows them more time to consider the possibilities regarding gender affirmation surgeries later on in life. Those blockers weren't made available to you, were they?
No, as I said, nothing like that was even on my radar at all. There was, if I had the sort of information at sort of my early teens that young people do have now, it probably would have been a completely different story. But because it was nothing that was around when I was a kid, it was like, well, I just have to deal with this, really.
At some point in time, I guess you received some counselling and eventually started taking hormones. When did that happen?
That happened around when I was 26.
Right, so quite later on.
Yeah, I definitely knew that I wanted to be male when I was about 21. That's when it was definitely sort of like something that I need to do.
Right, so if you'd had access to puberty blockers, you could have made that decision then,
yes.
couldn't you? We'll come on to that in a minute because it's quite important. Mm. When you started taking the hormones, I guess it's testosterone, is it,
yes.
that you take. What were the immediate effects and then latterly, you know, the longer term effects when you started taking those hormones?
So the immediate effects, well, there's not really actually. I think the most immediate effect is that your wee really smells.
Oh, right.
If you've been into like a male toilet and it's got that very strong musky like urine smell, that's pretty much what it's like for about a week after you have
right.
the injection.
Okay.
It's pretty gross.
And it does come in the form of an injection, doesn't
yes
it? You're not
I
taking
mean
tablets.
You can either get them in a gel or an injection, but I get mine as an injection, which I take every 3 months.
So psychologically, did it make a difference straight away that you were having this?
Definitely. I mean, it was a pretty long wait that I had to go on before I was even offered hormones from the first time I actually went to the doctor. It
was that a couple of years counselling that you have to have?
I didn't even have counselling.
You didn't have counselling,
no.
Right.
I just went to a gender identity clinic and I saw two doctors for about 10 minutes.
So
that was it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Okay, that's really interesting. What about, I mean, people associate testosterone with aggression. Did you find your personality changed at all?
I definitely became more confident. I didn't become, I was very worried about being aggressive or sort of having major mood swings. A lot of the things that do happen to a few guys, but I never found anything like that. I think the massive sort of major mood change that I found is that I can't actually cry, and it's actually a very well-known thing with trans guys that if they're feeling upset they can't cry.
You can't, what you mean, can't physically produce tears?
No,
it's just you can't.
You're feeling sad and you want to know, I've got to release this, but you just physically can't let
Gosh.
Those tears go.
Wow, that's really interesting. I never heard that before. You then later went on to have surgical procedures.
Yep.
But before we talk about those elective surgical procedures, I guess it's important that we point out that not everyone who identifies as transgender opts to have any kind of surgical procedure. But it's also, it doesn't make their own identity any less valid, does it?
No. Even with hormones as well, there will be people who don't choose to take hormones, whether it's for health reasons or for their own personal reasons. But that doesn't invalidate their being trans any less than someone who goes the full whack, as they would say.
So what was the first affirmation surgery you undertook, and why did you decide to go ahead with it?
So the first one I had was my chest surgery. So it was the double mastectomy with nipple grafts. And that basically means removing all of the breast tissue and sort of rearranging and constructing my chest so it's a lot flatter and obviously appears male.
So let's be clear about this. Were you wearing some sort of binder before
yeah.
that? Okay. So if you had access to, say, drugs earlier on as a young person, pre-puberty, you probably wouldn't have had to go through that surgery. Is that right? If you'd have gone straight onto hormones from that?
I feel like if I was on sort of hormone blockers,
yeah.
I think some breast tissue would have still
developed,
but uh-huh. not as big as it did.
Not as much. Did you have to take counselling before you had that surgery at all?
No.
So you didn't have to do
no,
that?
No, I just had to see a specialist again.
How did you feel following the surgery?
It was very strange because it was obviously something that I really wanted. It was probably the one most important thing that I wanted. But then when I came out of surgery, of course, I was feeling excited, but I had about 6 weeks of healing up. And I'm very lucky that all of my family and my friends and my work colleagues were so wonderful about it and sending me presents and get well soon cards and things like that. And I actually felt quite bad for them doing such nice things for me because I felt like it was quite a selfish thing that I had done. That it was a very, you know, this was for me, like I'm using money from the NHS that could be helping solve people's cancer and stuff like that, but yet I'm just doing it for this very selfish thing. And I felt in a strange way just very, very selfish about the procedure that I had just had, but it was something that I needed for my own mental health and my own life, really.
How did you feel the first time that you went out in the sunshine and took your top off in public?
Oh, great. Absolutely great. I mean, it took a while for me to do it, just because when I had the surgery, it was just after summer, so I had to wait pretty much a whole year until I could do it.
Were there any downsides to surgery? Because, you know, obviously there's some scarring involved, etc. So do you find that opens up a whole lot of other questions people want to ask you about when, you know, walking around with your top off?
I mean, I'm pretty lucky now because not a lot of people actually ask about it.
Right.
My scars are very light now, and I've got quite a bit of hair on my chest, so that covers it up anyway. And generally, not a lot of people are looking in that sort of general direction unless they know. I think I did feel quite self-conscious to begin with, when the scars were still quite ripe and they were a bit red and things like that. But
yeah.
I was very lucky that I had a very good surgeon and my scars were not actually that thick. So in the end, I just said, well, I've got to get my top off sooner or later. And I think it was more actually being quite proud that I'd had it done and that I could do this now. And it was just like, I don't really give a monkey's if anyone looks at me.
Right, right. So you've really gained a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
There. Let's skip forward quite a bit, actually. And your recent decision to undergo a hysterectomy.
Yes.
Was that a straightforward elective decision for you personally? Was it medically required?
It's actually a bit of both, really. I mean, when you do take testosterone, there's no sort of scientific evidence on whether it can increase your chances of getting ovarian cancer. But professionals do usually say that it's probably the best thing for you to do. And it does generally sort of shrivel up, basically, all of that stuff. When you're on testosterone, it just shrivels up. And I was actually starting to feel some pain from time to time for no apparent reason. I mean, my period stopped just by the time that I started taking my first testosterone injection. So it was basically, it was gone, it was out of order from
right.
then on. But it was also for like my peace of mind, because I never wanted it in the first place anyway.
Right, okay. Yeah, it felt like it really wasn't a part
yeah.
of you. Did you think about having an option? Was there an option for you to, say, have eggs from your ovaries frozen, for example? Was that option open to you? Should you at some point in time decide to have genetic children, for example? There's been a lot of stories in the news recently about trans men having children.
Yeah, I mean, it's never been an option of mine. I've never wanted children myself, and it's never sort of been something that I see in my future. I was some people did speak to me about it, but it was whenever someone said, what do you think about freezing your eggs? And I just said, no, I'm not bothered.
You were quite sure about
yeah.
that. But that option's open to others, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is open to others.
And I guess the usual sort of menopausal effects, are they mitigated by the fact that you're taking testosterone? I mean, do you get the flushes and those kind of side effects, or do they not exist at all?
It's a bit of both, really, because yeah. you're not only getting the menopause, but then you're also getting a second puberty at the same time. So you've got all, you don't know whether or not you're getting the, you don't, when you start sweating, you don't know if you're sweating because you're acting like a 13-year-old boy or whether or not you're having sort of like a 54-year-old woman's hot flushes.
Right.
So it's a bit of...
a bit of both.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're several weeks on from that hysterectomy now.
Yes.
How are you feeling in yourself now?
I'm feeling good. I was very cautious because obviously they say, you know, you're not allowed to do any heavy lifting. I only had keyhole surgery, but
wow.
they're still going through tummy muscle and
right.
and such like that, but being now back at work and being able to do heavy lifting again and definitely being able to have sex again is very good as well.
So looking forward, what changes would you like to see happen to help those who currently have gender dysphoria and wish to transition?
I think sort of legally wise, they can definitely revamp the gender recognition certificate.
That is happening, isn't it? There are
talks about it. It can take up to 2 years. You need to get letters from doctors. It can cost about £400 to get it done. And then at the end of the day, there's still a chance that that won't happen. Having better counsellors for people who are transitioning, because I understand that the waiting lists now are far longer than when I first started, and I still had to wait about 8 months before I saw my first specialist. Because at the moment, it's a lot of trans people just trying to help each other out. If you are a trans guy, I would or trans masculine, or even non-binary, I would recommend joining a Facebook group called TMS UK.
And it kind of covers all sorts.
It sounds
like a great group to join. Nathan, Adam, thank you so much for talking to me so candidly about your transition today.
No worries.
Shout out
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Hey, you sit down now, Ivan.
Yeehaw! Do you know, I've got my headphone wire twisted around my ankle. Hang on a minute.
Yes, that's the horse in the studio that's worrying me. Well,
he's back.
That's not a reference to me, is it?
It's the way you smile.
Nay, lad, nay.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if Phil's listening.
Oh, yes, it's Country Show. If you're listening on BCFM, the Country Show's up next after Shout Out.
He's probably sat out in the green ring.
He probably is, yeah. Yeah.
So, but that is Hillbilly Rock, Hillbilly Roll by the Woolpackers, which is, it was hit in the 90s. And
Class tune. Very
well known, because it was probably every single line dancing class you could ever go to in the country back then, I think so. So anyway, Matthew and Ivan are here.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I'm tired. Leave me alone. So I'm nearly
it's
in
difficult.
Holiday mode.
It's difficult,
okay,
isn't
I've got
it?
One more day to get through. So anyway, should we get some news headlines?
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 12th of April.
The trans female feminist rapper and electronic music pioneer Kee Dash is featured in the new edition of pop music magazine Loud and Quiet. In an exclusive interview, Dash addresses her responsibility for other trans women in challenging misogyny and homophobia in the rap music world. She has music available online at SoundCloud and Mixcloud and says that this is her preferred way of releasing tracks.
Radio Times has caught up with Alan Carr, fresh from his new programme for Channel 4 called I Don't Like Mondays, in which contestants try and win a year's wages. Alan revealed that he enjoyed documentaries with people like Mary Beard and Lucy Worsley, and that the current dangerous world situation with a maverick US presidency and tensions with Russia fascinates him like a spy story.
Have you ever been told that LGBT people are going to hell? It's a common trope amongst fundamentalists of all stripes. LGBT Christians have different interpretations of the scriptures, whilst gay pagans, humanists and atheists do not believe in the Christian concept of hell. Now it seems that the Pope has something in agreement with us. It's claimed in Italian paper La Repubblica that Pope Francis told its editor that literal hell does not exist, and that people who are considered bad by the church simply simply cease to exist after death. It's a bold claim and one which will infuriate right-wingers within the Catholic hierarchy. Nevertheless, the redefinition of hell has been welcomed by many. An editorial in the Times newspaper said that Pope Francis was merely bringing Catholic teaching up to date with today's understanding of theology.
ITV has declared its intent to campaign against male suicide, which is now a leading cause of death among young males. 84 sculptures representing the 84 men who take their own lives each week in Britain have appeared on the roof of ITV studios in London. The sculptures, made by American artist Mark Jenkins and his collaborator Sandra Fernandez, were created during a series of workshops with the support of bereaved family members and friends of the deceased.
A landmark case in the Caribbean has ruled in favour of the LGBT community. The case was brought in March 2017 when LGBT activist Jason Jones took the government of Trinidad and Tobago to court, filing a lawsuit to strike down the so-called buggery law. Jones argued that Section 13 of the island's Sexual Offences Act, which criminalised anal sex, was unconstitutional because it violated his right to privacy, liberty and freedom of expression. The lawsuit is one of several landmark cases filed by Caribbean activists challenging regional homophobic laws. Following the High Court's decision, members of the LGBT community celebrated on the outskirts of the building.
Anti-trans activist group Woman's Place UK have had an event cancelled by the Mercure Holland House Hotel in Cardiff on account of the nature of a meeting they had planned at the venue. In a recent tweet, the hotel said that they do not tolerate any form of racist, sexist or bigoted behaviour. All members of our team are committed to eradicating any instances of discrimination. Woman's Place UK called the hotel's decision totally unnecessary. Meanwhile, here in Bristol, the venue's sister hotel will be hosting the Bristol Diversity Award on Saturday the 19th of May.
Hollyoaks star Kieran Richardson is rooting for a Stee and Harry reunion in the wake of the Ryan Knight drama. Stee and Harry are sometimes referred to as the soap's power gay couple, known collectively as Starry. Kieran's character Stee is currently in a relationship with Ryan, but it's all about to blow up in a recent episode. Stee will discover Ryan's guilt over Amy's death thanks to the damning message that Tegan Lomax has left on her communication device, and later faces a terrifying showdown with the killer. Fans will have to tune in to see if Stee can escape from Ryan's clutches or not, but if he does, Kieran says that he's hoping for a happier future with Harry for his character.
For these news stories and more, check out our excellent website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Ivan Jackson
and Matthew Tosh.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
There you go. Thank you, Ian and Neville. Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
My own creation. Uncontrollable.
Little Boots and Remedy, that's called.
That was a bit heavy for this show. Where did that come from?
Well, it's Little Boots. We've interviewed them at Bristol
Yes,
Pride,
we did.
We?
So. Yes, I'm still friends with her on Facebook.
How are you?
Yeah, she pops herself around the world doing DJing. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a professional DJ.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, now, do you want to introduce our next guest?
Yes. On the line, hopefully, if it's all working correctly, we've got Francis Bennett. Hello, Francis.
Hi, how are you?
Ah, you are there. We were a bit worried for a moment because we had trouble connecting to you.
Yeah, I was worried when I didn't get a call. I thought, well, maybe they're not calling.
No, no, we're reliable, really reliable.
We are here.
Yes. Now, in the notes, it says you were a Roman Catholic, so I take it you're not now, and you were a Trappist monk for a number of years. Could you just fill us in with some of your background?
Well, yeah, I have a pretty strange background, I guess, by most standards.
Sounds interesting.
I was going to say, yeah, it sounds very
interesting. When I was really young, I went to seminary right out of high school. Then I went to a Trappist monastery after I graduated from seminary and was there pretty much a lot of my adult life. I transferred to a French Benedictine community at one point to be able to do more active work with hospice and chaplaincy in hospitals and prisons and things. And then left monastic life, and I've always been transgender, but I really didn't really do much about it for most of my life, obviously, living in a monastery.
Yeah, when you were in the monastery, was that something to stop you going forward, to sort of escape what you felt inside, to try and hold it back?
You know, I don't think that was my primary motivation. I think I really was drawn to seek spiritual realities. That was the kind of driving force in my life. And, you know, I've learned in life that there's probably everything we do has mixed motives. So I imagine there was maybe some element of escape in it, but not primarily, I wouldn't say.
Okay. Now, it says you've moved around quite a lot, including Mont-Saint-Michel.
I was at Mont-Saint-Michel for a little while, yeah.
Yeah, and Canada as well. And you've been doing quite a bit of training as a Buddhist. Is that the direction that you're currently at?
I ordained for a couple years in the Theravadan Buddhist tradition as well, because I'd done a lot of Buddhist meditation with a teacher, and he thought that would be a good experience for me. So I was both a Christian monastic and also, just for a couple years, in a temporary ordination, a Buddhist monastic. And I would say, yeah, my teaching now that I share with people would be a blend of Buddhism and Christian mysticism, I would say, that I learned in my monastic life.
Right, so would you say now that the Roman Catholic Church is well and truly behind you, that you feel as though you've moved on from that restrictive religion?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I think my transition would be definitely a deal breaker.
Yes,
for that.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Maybe one day they'll change.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm not holding my breath,
no,
however.
No. So now I guess you travel around the world currently, doing teachings on spirituality, and you studied Zen.
Right. I did Zen for, I would say, close to 10 years. I studied with two different Zen teachers. Yeah.
That's a long time. And you practice with some of the greats.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to have had really some wonderful teachers. I was a student of Seongsun Im, who was the Korean Zen master who founded Providence Zen Center. And I also worked with Charlotte Joko Beck, who founded the San Diego Zen Center. And I did years of Vipassana.
Can you tell me what that is?
Vipassana meditation is the primary mode of spiritual practice that's taught in Theravadan Buddhist countries of Southeast Asia.
Okay.
So it's called insight meditation often. And I still draw a lot from that, but I'm kind of an eclectic blend of Buddhism and Christian mystical teachings, basically.
Would you say you're open to other thoughts and feelings from different religions?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I guess where you were was pretty closed, wasn't it, for you?
No, it was very open, actually.
Was it really?
I was at the Abbey of Gethsemane, where Thomas Merton, the famous spiritual writer, lived. He was very open to other religions, and we engaged in Buddhist-Christian dialogue. There was a lot of sort of interspiritual openness at that particular Trappist monastery. Yeah.
Can you tell us what you're doing currently? Obviously, you're actually going around the world, and you've written the book as well.
Yeah, I wrote a book called I Am That I Am, and it's about kind of my spiritual journey and also just a spiritual book about practices, about integrating spirituality into our everyday life. That's what I would say. My primary teaching, I've kind of coined a phrase called full circle awakening, and I basically teach that we need to awaken up and out of the merely material kind of physical world to the level of spirit, but then we need to also live that in the ordinary day-to-day world. So hopefully it's more of an integrative approach that I'm teaching.
Are you actually doing a tour of the UK currently, or is it the whole
of Europe? I'm just at the end of it, so I'll be in Brighton this weekend.
Okay. Where'd you go from there?
I go to Dublin as a little way station, and then I go home to the U.S.
Right. So U.S. is your home now?
Yep.
Now, if people want to get in touch with you, or if they would like to go and see you. And find out more. Yeah, definitely, Andy.
That's a problem because I'm in a place where I have no decent Wi-Fi and I don't have in front of me the information. But
okay.
Hopefully you have some of it.
We do. We have your website address. We'll be linking that onto our website.
Website is findinggraceatthecenter.com, and that has all my events on it on the events page. They could click on that. It's www.findinggraceatthecenter.com.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm looking forward to reading your book, actually.
Oh, great. I hope you do.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Francis.
Thank you, Francis.
All right. Bye-bye.
The Shoutout Podcast.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
Spectrum and Say My Name. That's Florence and the Machine, that, isn't it?
It's a shame we didn't have more time to talk to Francis. Mm. I'd have liked to continue that. Really, really interesting.
Yeah, lovely voice.
Definitely good, isn't it? Mm. Yes.
Very soporific, very soothing.
Very. Yeah. Yeah, going to read her book, I think. We've had a complaint to the show, unfortunately.
I've got to tell it off.
Yes.
Sorry, Phil.
From the presenter of the next show.
Phil Lyons, who's doing the country show up next on BCFM, came in and was just like, "Woolpackers, that's not country. It's
no, it's pretend." Yeah.
Anything but, that makes Ivan happy makes me happy.
Anything that makes Ivan happy makes you happy.
Oh, I'm touched.
Yes, you should be.
You should have seen him dance, Phil. It was great. The line dancing across the room. So, can you call that line dancing music then? Or is that a...
Ivan was line dancing. Well, he was doing something. He was line dancing solo. Is that a line dance when you're doing it on your own?
No, I meant that type of music. Is that line dancing music? Can you...
I think so. Yeah.
Well, ask the expert. Sat at the end of the studio.
Up,
did
fine,
you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just check with our country expert.
I don't know. So your type of music? Was that all right? Florence and the Machine.
It was Florence and the Machine. I like that. Yeah, I liked all the music tonight.
Yeah,
I like variety. I'm one of these people with a very eclectic taste in music.
Yeah. It's always a good word, eclectic.
Do you like that? Yeah. You try and get your teeth around it. It's right, eclectic.
Yes.
Yeah. It's good. I like the variety.
It makes me think of Half Moon Glasses, though.
Well, eclectic.
Yeah.
Well, like a teacher's word, is it, sort of thing?
Yeah.
Somebody sort of like peers over the top
like
of
your
specs
hubby
at
when
you.
He puts it on the end of his nose and like reads a menu or something.
Well,
know,
that's because he's visually impaired, so you know, so that's why he has to do that. It's nothing to
you're going
to
get such a slap when you get
teacherliness.
I'm visually eclectic.
No, visually eclectic. Yeah,
in fact, you don't wear glasses, do you?
No, I don't. I'm like, well, I do actually for driving at night.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but I don't really actually need them. It's a long story. I just put them
on. What, is pretend glasses?
They're pretend glasses.
Well, are they just normal glass?
Well, you know, my vision's right on the edge, you know, so I don't actually...
Like the rest
legally, I don't need them, but I actually quite like wearing them because they just, you know, I can see things.
And it makes you look sexy?
Well, I'm not sure about that, actually, really, but yeah. No, well, you know, people can draw their own conclusions on that one. So.
No, they can. That's why we're on radio.
That's true. There's a very good reason for that. That's absolutely true.
It's make you look
true.
Good.
Indeed, yes. So, great news about Trinidad and Tobago in the news then. One of the first areas in the Caribbean to be going through, getting rid of all that nasty legislation.
Yes. Huh? Cool. Yeah, good. That could spread.
That's good news. We'll have to keep an eye on that then, won't we? So, anyway, that's it for this week. But if you have been, thanks for listening.
If you want to catch up, listen again, or find out the podcast you missed, listen online or download our shows from shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, we revisit mental well-being. But for myself and the rest of the team and Ian and whoever else was in the
studio.
The
horse.
And the horse. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Hey.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.